My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting. The A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
Here we are, everybody. A live edition of Rewind to Raw. We thought of taping this in advance, but we are bringing it to you live. Live as live can be. You know, I have been just going through quicksand all day, but I feel I got my second wind as we were going through the news.
The news chat tends to do that for us. It's
it powers me up.
Yeah. Who needs caffeine? Who needs...
I'm getting a minimum amount here. But nonetheless... Okay.
I was going to say, who needs caffeine when you could be talking about Jake Paul getting knocked out by Anthony Joshua?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What got our sensors going? Yeah, it was talking boxing with Wei Ting. I think we're going to start to implement live Netflix watch-alongs for future fights. I think that's going to be the fun on Rewind to SmackDown next time.
I wonder how well that worked. We gave up after about three rounds, but yeah, we did try a little bit of
my computer was terribly out of sync with your feed, so that it was not going swimmingly. But if you do catch the full version of Rewind to Raw on the Cafe, yes, talking about the fight from Friday night. We also went through AAA's big card on Saturday in Guadalajara, which was quite the show to check out. New Japan's Road to Tokyo Dome, a full rundown of that card from earlier today. The passing of Roland Bock, and as well some notes from Tony Khan's media call, and all the wrestling that is coming up over the next three nights with it's taped central from AEW and WWE as these performers get a rest for the holidays.
As they deserve, but that does not mean we will be taking too many breaks. We're kind of not really off on Wednesday, John, because it is arguably the biggest show of the entire year. All right. It is a Christmas tradition. It is the 8th annual Post Wrestling Christmas show, dropping exclusively in the Post Wrestling Cafe first on Wednesday, and then out for everybody on Christmas Day on Thursday.
That's right. If you're a cafe subscriber, you will get it on Christmas Eve. For everyone else, it will be underneath your Christmas tree on Thursday. It's going to be a mammoth one. Wei Ting sent me the text. He said, we're going to need a bigger boat. It's a large one. Only your computer could contain this monster. It would have crippled mine.
Very good chance it could, yeah. But yep, set aside a big chunk of your time or a big chunk of your family activities to not listen to your family talk. Listen to us and our friends talk instead.
That's right. And I want to thank all the people that contributed to the annual jingle contest. It's always much appreciated, those that go out of their way to create their jingles. All of them will be played on this week's show, and we will crown the winner of the 2025 Christmas Jingle Contest winner here at Post Wrestling. So that's coming out this week. And again, just to reiterate, the only show we're really missing this week is Rewind to Dynamite. We will not be doing a show on Christmas Eve, but we will be back Friday with Rewind to SmackDown. Kate and Kate from Montreal and John Kleinchester will also do a show Friday covering the previous two nights of AEW. And then Wei and I will do World's End coming up this Saturday. So it's pretty much the regular schedule minus Rewind to Dynamite. And we will let everyone know that tomorrow, Tuesday, on the Cafe feed, Captain America, the 1990 film, will be reviewed by Rich Van and WH Park.
All this talk about Doomsday, you know, like what teasers are dropping now. We don't need that, okay? We don't need Robert Downey Jr. We don't need Chris Evans. We don't need all this, like, technology. All you need is a latex suit, okay? A very low budget and a shield. That's all we need.
Ned Beatty's in this film. Matt Salinger.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. I've not watched this, but W.H. Park and Rich Van have.
Came out on December 14th, 1990, so timely. 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's not, that is a draw, okay? That makes me way more interested to watch this. So
no one wants to be like 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, if I'm not going to be 98%, I want to be like 12.
Hey, one last thing here. We are, 2 days away from the holidays, from the Christmas season, or from Christmas Day, I should say. Those of you who might not have a gift yet for a loved one who might be listening to this podcast, consider postwrestling.com/gift for your gifting needs. A subscription to the Post Wrestling Patreon for any sort of amount, any sort of length, is probably the best thing you can do for somebody, okay? Even if you did get them something already, this is really the perfect stocking stuffer. It's the perfect way to say, I love you. You mean a lot to me.
It's also a wonderful way to tell, let's be honest, the man in your life, I don't know what the hell you do with your time, but I'm sure this will go a long way. Conversely, men out there, this is the proper way to pop the question around this holiday time, okay?
Yeah.
It's not with a ring. It's in the four-sided one, okay? Postwrestling.com/gift, okay? She'll be yours forever.
Yeah.
Or filing for divorce, whichever. I mean, it's if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
That's right.
So there you go. Those are all your news and notes from in and around the post wrestling world. Because now we're going to get into a seismic edition of Raw, taped on Friday in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the Van Andel Arena. Now, Wei, did you? I know sometimes you have an ear for this. Did you suspect any production enhancements to this crowd?
So I think I would be suspicious if not for the fact that, like, on Friday's show, they had every opportunity to sweeten that audio and they did not, in my opinion. And I thought there were some portions of that show that didn't really sound all that great. I mean, this under the current regime, I don't think they're as known to, like, manipulate the audio as much. And therefore, I could buy that this was the actual sounding crowd. Yeah.
In that Bayley Roxanne Perez match, like, there were several, like, screw ups in that match that they easily could have edited out and opted not to. So maybe this is the authentic era. This is WWE Unreal. Okay.
It's real.
We're not going to put the wool over anyone's eyes. Okay. We are, this is authentic. So one of the most notable things I would say on the whole show is Javon Evans is arriving and he is identified as the soon to be free agent. Javon Evans, and it sounds like they are going to be doing this exact same thing with Trick Williams on SmackDown, and it would seem like both of them are, I mean, feels like they're both already now on the main roster. It's just going to be a question of what brand they go to, because of course that's a big decision they have to make. What brand will they be specific to?
Oh, they would be stuck there, I would say, for the rest of their life, so they better choose wisely, because there's no leaving brands once you're committed. Very interesting. I mean, certainly you would expect it for Trick. I think for Javon, I don't know if I would have expected it, you know?
He's ready.
Of course he's ready. It's just, he's so young, John, you know, he can't possibly win a championship at this age, you know, much less get called up. But I'm glad, like, they seem to be coming to their senses. Certainly if they weren't already considering it, I think, like, the profile on the Cena night, probably, you know, happen to take it over the edge. I'm very curious if this decision to call him up was made before or after they decided to have him win the Iron Survivor match. Because
I think
really
the fact
weird.
They went to the title match right after the Tuesday, I think it almost tells you, like, I'm very curious to see as well, like, if we're looking at that, like, is if Sol Ruka is going to be part of this group as well, because you would think, like, she's right there with them in terms of, like, who would you be isolating? And, like, if not for this piece of paper he has with TNA, Leon Slater as well in that whole mix.
So timing though is interesting in that, okay, well, it certainly makes sense given it's Rumble season. Like, that's often a time where you might see an NXT call up, At the same time, it also represents one of the tougher times to be called up because so many people already have their stories set up for WrestleMania. And if you're just an NXT call-up, there's a chance you might not even make the show, make the card. I would hope that would be different in Javon Evans and Trick Williams' case if both of them get called up.
Well, the Vision arrive and Heyman stands alone with Austin Theory, who is waiting for them. And Austin explains he wanted everyone to feel his actions before they saw my name. And he got comfortable, and then he got injured, and everyone forgot about me. Just like the Vision, I take. And he wants to help them tonight, and Heyman is intrigued by this. And this would set up our main event for later in the night, where it would be Austin Theory with Bronson Reed against CM Punk and Rey Mysterio, but Austin Theory not part of the Vision yet.
No, he's trying to, well, this was his audition, they said. What did you think about his justification for being masked up until
that? He basically said, if people knew it was me, this would have failed miserably because I have been handled so poorly and I am a detriment to fans' enjoyment. So logic in the character.
I would have suggested that he keep the mask on like for the rest of this run, actually.
He could have been this generation's Black Scorpion.
Well, he could still be.
And Paul Heyman was there for that reveal, too, back in 1990. So we have our Christmas-themed set in Grand Rapids, and Rhea Ripley is asking Io to stay back tonight after injuring her back, shielding Rhea from the insane elbow last week. And I can't be out there to protect you as well. And Io is nearly in tears here as mommy consoles child.
Yeah.
They're going really heavily with
this. Well, I was going to say, I don't know how much we should continue to look into this, like, very gay-coded relationship. But
is it coded?
But that's exactly it. I don't know if I'm out of turn in like, continuing to talk about it, but it is so, like, deliberate, you know? It has to be intentional. Has to be, right?
Just fine. Like that's
which is great. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it would mean that we would have like Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa. We would have Toni Storm and Io Sky. We would have multiple
Rhea and Io Sky.
Sorry, Rhea and Io Sky.
Yeah. You know, there's just something about an Australian Japanese combination, I suppose.
So it's Ripley and Asuka, a rematch from WrestleMania 37, they note, and stating that Asuka has never beaten Rhea Ripley. So you know what that means. They had a very good match here. Riptide gets blocked early, and it's Asuka to the floor. Sane is distracting, and Rhea is no longer wearing the face mask, so she takes these Kawada kicks to the face, and they mention the previously broken nose. Sane trips her, and it's Asuka lighting her up with kicks, and Rhea responds by slapping Asuka and into these short arm clotheslines, tries for another riptide and is countered into a small package, gets the prism lock. That's turned into an ankle lock by Asuka and then into the German. And they fight to the edge of the apron. Asuka hits a German on the edge and comes off the top, gets kicked in the face. And Sane knocks Ripley off balance as she's climbing. Io runs down. Her back is half broken, attacks Kyrie, and then gets swept on the edge of the apron, and Rhea comes to Io's aid, and because of the distraction, gets rolled up by Asuka, who grabs the tights and pins Rhea Ripley, getting her first victory over Rhea Ripley after all these years.
Yeah. So at some point in all of this, like, Rhea's nose started to, there was some blood coming through her nose, and I mean, I would certainly hope for her sake it wasn't anything, you know, like, deeper. Because she's just recovering from a nose injury. But I didn't realize this, but she wrestles with her nose piercings in there.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy to me. That's insane. I think it's one thing to wrestle with, like, piercings in general, but, like, piercings on your nose and, like, a full contact, you know, athletic activity, like professional wrestling, that is very daring.
You would think it would be something rare, but, like, it's a fair amount of people who will wrestle with piercings, and that to me would just be something like that would worry me. I was never allowed to do that in, like, jiu-jitsu. They made me, like, I had earrings at the time. I shouldn't disclose that, but I had to take them out.
Yeah. The match was given a lot of time. It felt like a lot of the wrestling on the show was given a lot of time. Right. How long was this? though.
Yeah, I didn't have the time because we had so many commercial breaks. We had like two commercial breaks in this, but this felt like other than the main event, probably the longest, I would say. It was four matches in like a 90-minute format.
I guess even with commercials, it felt pretty long. And the crowd seemed very engaged throughout all of it because I think both characters are so over. I thought the wrestling was decent, not necessarily something I would say like, you got to go see this.
But it was good. It was good for the time that they had. Yeah.
It's successful in building to this tag team feud. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
So the vision is with Heyman. He gives them the plan that Breaker and Bronson, where were you guys a year ago? Now you're headliners because I saw something in you. So trust me on this with Austin Theory. And they say that he'll team with Bronson tonight, and either Austin will carry our vision out or else we will carry him out of WWE. And Braun Breaker tells Reed, I'll have your back tonight, but not his.
Mm. You know what? What's interesting is... like, no Logan here for this shot, for this show. And I wonder if...
You know why? He was at his brother's fight.
Very, very good point. Yes. That's right. That was Friday. Okay. So I guess I'm curious if Logan continues to make these, like, regular appearances attached to the vision, or if part of the reason to bring Theory in is the fact that you're not going to get Logan every single week, therefore they kind of need a third person.
For Logan, less is more. Like, I don't know if he should be a weekly character, to be honest. Like, it does feel like they are increasing his availability more and more, but I think that somewhat loses the appeal of Logan Paul if he's just kind of another guy. But, like, you are right. Like, having Austin Theory there, it kind of fleshes this out. But, I mean, for Friday, like, it was an extenuating circumstance why he wasn't there.
I imagine Logan probably... costs a lot. Like, I don't know if he's on a per date type of thing, but I would imagine his contract stipulates an X amount. And do you want to use them all when most weeks you just have him like sitting in the background, you know, in the back here?
Cole refers to Gunther as the career killer. So we will see if that's going to follow him as a new slogan. Becky comes out. She is the real IC champion, calls the referee corrupt in their match, insults Grand Rapids, and out comes Maxine, who says, Becky, you are the greatest of all time, but this rookie beat the greatest of all time 3 times. I'll give you a title shot anytime. I just want you to acknowledge me as the champion. And Becky, you don't act like the greatest. You sound like your best years are behind you. So Becky snaps and attacks Maxine, holds up the belt, and Maxine comes back, putting on an ankle lock, and Becky taps out furiously as the ankle lock is applied, and they will have their rematch January 5th on the Barclays Center show alongside Punk and Braun Breaker and the Kabuki Warriors against Io and Ripley. So we have 3 title matches in 2 weeks.
That's the big match big show they're building to, you know, after the holiday season, coming back with what feels like a pay-per-view edition of Raw, their anniversary on Netflix here. I thought they did some great work here. I mean, you know, we talked about the improvements of Maxine's in-ring last week, and that seems to be the case with her on the microphone as well, at least to me here. I thought in donning like this new character of a more confident competitor, Like she sounded that way. She sounded like she, you know, if the idea was to fake it till you make it, again, she proved that even on the microphone tonight. She sounded good here. I thought the segment did a good job of continuing to build her as well. Of course, Becky doing a great job selling this ankle lock as well.
Pierce is with Javon Evans. He wants to sit down with him later and talk about his future. And then Stephanie Vaquer walks in. She's asked about Nikki Bella and Raquel Rodriguez. She's like, I want both of them next week. So it's a triple threat next week in Orlando for the women's title. Usos promo. They were not on the show other than this video package. They're building up. They're back in the tag division. They beat the New Day. Now they're coming for the tag belts. So that's another title match that will be next week with AJ and Dragon Lee. A lot of title matches coming up on Raw.
Four letters, one word. Usos. That's what the new thing is.
Oh, that's really clever. Rayo Americano and Javon Evans. Michael Cole says Javon Evans is here to try and impress Adam Pearce. I know this is a bit of a nitpick. To me, that's completely backwards of what this dynamic should be. These GMs should be at this guy's beck and call. This guy is the talent. We should be going out of our way to convince this guy, not this guy's coming, hat in hand, please hire me, please.
Yeah.
Should totally be presented the opposite way.
Then you wouldn't get this reason to have an exhibition match on Raw.
Well, how about this is, you know, this is like him going to visit a college, okay? They're trying to recruit him. So Graves says that Graves was very funny in this. He's like, I hear Rayo, he's a very mysterious figure, but I hear he's a big fan of the European style of wrestling. And then that him and Bravo, they were training partners of Mil Máscaras. So Evans hits his big dive. Rayo takes over after an arm drag off the buckle, and Evans counters with a Superman punch and a springboard clothesline. And El Grande Americano distracts as Bravo shows up to help. There's a Michinoku driver by Rayo for a two count. And then Evans moves out of the way of a moonsault OG cutter, and he wins, and then just flees to escape the frightening 1-2 punch of Bravo and Rayo.
Yeah. I mean, a successful showcase for Javon Evans. Not as good as the AAA match, but still very, very enjoyable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kathy Kelly spoke with Allen and Dragon. They list off their wins. It's going to be a classic with the Usos, and they're going to bring fire. And they are better than the best when they have these belts.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that possible?
Better than
the best. By definition, if you're the champions, you should be categorized as the best. Are you better than yourselves? Like, who is the best?
I don't think that's always the case. You could be champions, but like maybe considered like paper champions, you know?
Okay. Well, yeah. Who are the best?
Well, maybe they're suggesting that the Usos are the best tag team ever. Okay.
And they're better than the best.
That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Video by Bron Breakker. He mentioned spearing Punk last week and holding up his belt and how it was easy. He says, Punk, you don't care about your wife. You don't care about anyone in your life. And asks if it's this watered down 2025 version he's going to get, or the elusive 2011 CM Punk. I'm really hoping like we get maybe like some great like AI video next week of CM Punk like transforming, like, you know, those videos where someone walks from one scene to the next and you see the passage of time.
So what would he need to do to transform? Like slick his hair back, dye it black, dye his beard black, and be a lot more pissed off.
Yes. Yeah, maybe that's the first.
He comes out with his iPhone ready to hit send on a tweet addressed to The Miz.
I think that's where this all ends. Maybe he tells Braun to go suck something at the end.
If I was Braun, I'd be asking for are you 2025 Punk? Or are you the Mindy's muffin eating CM Punk?
Yeah, that's settle for the 2022 version. He was a pain in the ass too.
That's the Punk I'd be most scared of. Forget 2011.
That's the one.
The Punk that'll like, you know, shoot on you at a press conference and then tackle you at a dressing room with a dog.
He ends it by saying he hopes Punk saved all his money and cashed all his checks because he won't be worth a dollar to anyone after January 5th.
So this is an edited version of, I would say, a very similar promo that Bron Breakker has been cutting over these past couple of weeks. And I thought it was a good way of breaking these up, no pun intended, of course. And, you know, these all, like, this whole Punk feud, I think, has been a great way of giving Bron Breakker this much needed on the mic experience up against arguably the best person in the company. And
it's getting... been his best promos to date have been this series against Punk. And then as Graves and Cole are speaking, Nikki Bella pops up ringside, stands on the desk, and refers to herself as the most famous person in the building, a legend, a Hall of Famer. She mocks the Detroit Lions and wishes, you wish the Lions were as good as the Philadelphia Eagles or Ohio State. And this crowd was not having this. She's the star of this division. I destroyed Raquel's face last week, and Vicaire, she's a big deal in the ring, but I'm a big deal everywhere and a global superstar.
Mm-hmm. That she is. Huge.
Podcast influencer.
Yep. Bar Rescue. Okay. The massive global
Nathan's
phenomenon.
Hot dog eating contest co-host.
Correct. A Google rom-com that actually...
A Google AI campaign for a fake movie.
I mean, not many wrestling talents can claim that. She gave us a mic drop at the end of this promo, and listen, I thought it was good confidence, good energy from Nikki, but I don't know if this material was mic drop quality. Okay, like, I mean, she insulted the local sports team. Like, it was a very generic heel like type of promo from Nikki, and I feel like I have the impression that, like, I don't know if Nikki's been watching that much wrestling over the past, like, you know, 5 years or however long she's been gone. But, like, I get the sense, like, they're positioning her as if, like, simply Nikki Bella playing heel is supposed to be enough. When in 2025, that is simply not enough. You know, that's a starting point. But you kind of have to have a little bit more depth to, especially your heel promos, at this point, you know, like, in a sea of just really strong heel promos up and down this card. And this did not show it to me yet. This felt like a very base level, like my first week as a heel type of thing.
I want to see 2015 Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Poison Rana. We cover NXT every Tuesday night on the Post Wrestling feed in a show we call Up Next. But we do so much more. Follow Poison Rana Pod on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts for our live Sunday show, plus our Patreon with movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, and more. Find out everything at poisonrana.ca.
Bailey and Roxanne Perez was next. We had Lyra and Liv in the respective corners, and Bailey comes out of the gate with a Bailey to belly for a near fall, and then Perez takes over, attacking Bailey's left knee and works it over for quite some time. And finally, Raquel shows up ringside, and Lyra yanks Raquel off the apron, and then Liv sends Lyra over the desk. So Perez hits her cartwheel knees, sunset flip sends Perez into the corner, and then Liv trips Bailey, distracting the referee, and a turnbuckle gets removed, and Bailey is sent into the exposed buckle. And meanwhile, with Bailey basically out from the buckle spot, Raquel is arguing with the ref, so Liv, seeing that Perez has the match won, yanks Raquel off the apron, and this pisses off Raquel. So Lyra then hits a high cross onto both of them from the desk after she had been disposed of, and she slaps Bailey, gives her the spirit of Inoki, and Bailey does her fire up, hits the elbow off the top, and pins Roxanne Perez while Judgment Day is in shambles here, because three's a crowd.
Kind of, yeah. I I thought it was an okay match, but I thought the awakening of this sort of like role model, you know, Hulk within Bayley, I thought that was relatively well done here. They were saving the sort of like transformation for the energetic rush towards the finish with Lyra inspiring it through, I would say, like an attempt at a bigger theatrical slapping and verbiage, you know, saying, this is not the Grand Slam champion I want. All right. I want like all this stuff. And sometimes it could be a little bit over the top, but that's sort of this character and this particular feud, you know, John, that I love, that I know you love so much. So I thought that was relatively successful. And of course, this introduced some much needed Judgment Day tension, which is really the lifeblood of that particular group.
Yeah, I have a hard time complaining about anything with Bayley this particular week, because I am currently reading Natalia's book. And can I give you like a sneak peek at a 2012 ish WWE creative? Hey Natty, you got a second? I was backstage and Ed Koski, now WWE's head writer, then a writer on the rise, and someone in Vince's inner circle approached me. Oh shit, this must be it. This must be Vince's big idea he has for me. So we have an idea for you. Thank God. What is it? Well, Vince has an idea for you. Vince himself. Well, what's he thinking? Well, he really loves this idea. It's from Vince. It's not from me. Well, it must be really good. Well, Ed explains. Vince has this idea that he wants to do with you, and it's his baby, and it's important to him, but he really wants you to have this character where you pass gas. Ed and I just blinked at each other for 30 seconds. Like you have terrible flatulence, he eventually offered. Natalia, what the fuck do I say now?
Oh,
this thing escalated, and Natalia kept asking, what is the payoff? Do you know what the payoff was going to be for this? First of all, this was supposed to be something that would endear her to the audience, that she has this farting problem. Mm-hmm. It got to a point where she was going to have to shit her pants in a match. And then it was finally just, not just the spot ended up getting called off. They eventually just eliminated the whole character because Vince got feedback that apparently online, this is not an empowering trait for women. And Vince decided to move on from this character. In hindsight, for some of the awful gimmicks that have stuck to people and like nearly tanked their careers, it is a real credit that this one, I don't feel, has totally stuck to Natalia, that it was among the worst ideas for a character ever in WWE. Mm-hmm. Like it was pretty down there.
Well, how long was the legendary run of the farting character?
I imagine it was only a few weeks. They're not even specific here, but man, do I remember those. Like, and it was just like, they had like the sound effects and it was like, oh my God.
So I was going to say, in hindsight, the idea of Vince McMahon suggesting a defecating female character is, I mean, that there's sort of new context to that too in 2025.
You know, there's always something to be learned, from, you know, Vince McMahon's head. Yes. Then we go. So anyway, all that is to say, is this Bayley character it's going fine.
I'm looking forward to the rest of the review on book club.
This should be an interesting one. It should be an interesting one. I'm almost done this book. So that's December 30th, final book club of the year. Cheap plug. Austin Theory is with Bronson Reed and says, what's the plan tonight? And Reed just dresses him down and says, welcome to the big leagues. Just follow my lead. Theory says, don't call me kid. How about this? I'll start the match. You follow my lead.
Yeah. I mean, Theory was on the main roster way before Bronson Reed, you know?
Yeah. I was beating John Cena before it meant anything.
That's right. How old is Bronson Reed? I'm just curious. Let's see here. Bronson Reed is 36, 37. Okay. Austin Theory is 28. I mean, that kid does pass. You could, like, with that gap, call somebody kid.
Yeah. When it's separate decades you've been born in, you can pass for kid.
Yeah.
I think so. Judgment Day are arguing in the back. Perez complains about Raquel getting involved. And Raquel says, I was trying to help. something you guys could have done last week. And Liv just, they're very good at just being so like snotty with each other. Liv's like, it's what you wanted last week. And Raquel just storms off. I've got a title match to get ready for next week. So slowly but surely, we're seeing like, it's like Liv is just kind of stirring the drink here. And this whole group is going to implode at Liv's hands. It feels like is where we are going here.
Certainly, yeah. And who knows? Maybe she'll take credit for Dominic's injury as well, you know, at some point.
Maybe she like was putting like pins into everyone's shoulders, did some voodoo of some sort.
So, you know, we all expected, of course, some sort of fracturing here between these three ladies. And maybe the obvious one would have been Raquel and Roxanne against Liv. But the fracture now is Liv with Roxanne against Raquel, which I think makes things certainly interesting. But, of course, it could all be due to Liv's plan of breaking up Roxanne and Raquel first. So I think they're continuing to do a really great job of driving interest in the Judgment Day and continuing to maybe subtly building this, like, very methodical Liv Morgan character.
December on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have two editions of Rewind Away set for you, including a patron's pick where you have voted for us to review the Survivor Series from 1991, Hulk Hogan's Gravest Challenge. Then it's over to 2002 and a review of the very first WWE draft involving Raw and SmackDown as they kick off the brand extension. David Bixenspan is going to join me as we review Video Killed the Radio Star, a documentary on Bubba the Love Sponge, and the sex tape involving Hulk Hogan. Plus, we will have reviews of TNA Final Resolution, New Japan's World Tag League Final, Collision Course every single week, and XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com.
So in this post-John Cena retirement, Gunther has got the easiest gig in wrestling at the moment. He puts on his jacket. He comes out to vociferous boos while just laughing uproariously at these people. He poses, he chants, he milks it. They hate him. This is the most heat this guy's had. And then finally just says, well, you shouldn't be mad at me. You should be mad at the guy who tapped out like a little bitch. And CM Punk storms out, just goes nose to nose with Gunther. They don't get physical. Gunther just leaves. Then Ray comes out and they go nose to torso. And Gunther laughs and walks to the back. And then he goes to the back. He sees AJ Styles again. And AJ, you just don't know when to shut up. Guess I don't. And he walks off. And that's it. This guy's got like three main event matches.
He did the walking to the back wave. So that was a bit of extra work that he had to put in there as well.
So, I mean, you have all this stuff set up for them. I just think like it's not time to pull the trigger on any of these, but it would feel like, you know, you could certainly go the AJ direction whenever you want. And I could see him like he could face Ray. We got nothing. Remember all that stuff with Otis last week?
You're right. Yeah. I mean, I have to think that might be destination one, unless that was just wishful thinking.
Wasn't he saying like next week to like, I thought they were setting something up for this week on that. But anyway, there was nothing of note.
By the way, what is Raw next week?
Live. It is live next
week. Oh, it is live. Okay.
Yes. Yes. This is the only week that their shows are taped. Everything's back to normal next week.
Even if you're getting Gunther and Otis, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a substantial match. That might be one they announce in the afternoon or something. But I could see AJ Gunther like for Rumble. If not,
Saturday night's main event. But I could see this Rumble. Like,
Saturday night's main event makes a lot of sense, you know, like that was the last place that, you know, Gunther obviously had that match against Cena to continue that narrative on that show. It makes a whole lot of sense.
Because in theory, like there's no reason Gunther should not be in the Rumble and you could do this. Yeah, you could do this in Montreal, probably having an awesome crowd in Montreal. And then you could have these guys in the Rumble.
Gunther Punk to me feels like it's the WrestleMania direction at this point, wouldn't you say?
I mean, they just did this at SummerSlam, but there is like a renewed interest to this. I don't know if this would be just a red herring that they're throwing out there. I don't know. Because I look at Brock as someone that, I mean, that could be further down the road. But this was definitely something that they were teasing. I shouldn't call this like a red herring. I think there will be something to this, I guess.
Could be this for Rumble. Who knows?
There's a lot of options, and Gunther, you pretty much cannot go wrong. Like, it's a very easy story of people wanting to avenge Cena. like AJ, like if you want to do the career match with him, like there's all these things to do with Gunther. And
yeah, he needs to kill R-Truth. And I'm sorry, like I mean,
maybe
there's still some R-Truth hopefuls out there, but
he should murder Ray. Like he should be like, these guys should just be just non-obstacles in his way. But you're right, R-Truth would be a great one to do that with. He should be in the Otis role.
Have it be bloody and violent and serious. Would you wear this shirt, John?
No. No, I would not.
The latest offering from WWE Shop. It's a photo of Gunther tapping Cena out.
Is he smiling in the picture?
I don't... maybe. I can't exactly see the shot, but the
tap
reading.
Like a dot, dot, dot. Oh, that's that's kind of lame.
Imagine wearing... Well, come on.
Okay. Well, whatever.
What else would you expect?
Anyway, great utilization of Gunther. I've liked what they've done with him since. So then the main event, Punk and Ray against Austin Theory and Bronson Reed. It was a Raw main event, more so designed just to be a focus on Austin Theory more than anyone. They had the heat on Punk for a long period. Tags Ray, they got the heat on Ray for a long time. Theory has taken over. Punk tries to intervene, and then Ray transitions to a bulldog, tagging Punk. Punk hits a series of step-up knees, calls for the GTS, but is stopped by Theory's elbows. And finally, Bronson is knocked off his feet by Punk after multiple tries. Theory cuts off a 619 with this big clothesline, and then Theory is draped on the rope. Ray hits the 619. Reed yanks him off to stop the pin, and then Punk and Reed head into the timekeeper's area. They're out, and Ray gets crotched on top, and it's Austin hitting the stomp onto Ray and pinning him to win. So he has learned the art of the stomp.
Yes, yes.
From Seth.
Yeah, crowd reacted well to the match. But man, I gotta say, watching at home, I found this to be such a like a really generic, you know, like creatively low effort tag team match. And
it was a Raw tag team main event.
Yeah. There's WWE style, but man, that just basically means, you know, like on your way to building to hot tags to both Punk and then to Ray, it just lacked a whole lot of drama. And in those instances, you really do look towards the heels to make the match compelling. And I think Bronson Reed adds that. My interest was in seeing whether or not Austin Theory in this incarnation had anything different. And at least with this sample size, I can't say the answer is yes. I mean, I was looking for...
But they said he aced the audition. Did he?
Well, I guess he won, sure, yeah, in storyline, yes. But I mean, I was looking for a new style, like a new move, and I mean, beyond the curb stomp, there was just nothing that different. Like a new aggression, nothing really. Like, saw no real evolution here, and I continued to be very, I have to say, confused by the choice of Austin Theory in this very prime role on the show.
So Punk comes back to check on Ray after he's been beaten with the stomp, and Bron Breakker appears, and the show ends with a violent spear to CM Punk, and yet another week where it's Bron Breakker standing over top CM Punk with 2 weeks until their match, which they've been building pretty effectively. And we should add, they had graphics advertising that match specifically on the boxing card on Netflix on Friday as well. Okay. So they're promoting it very heavily. And I would imagine they're going to promote this on the Christmas Day NFL games on Thursday.
That's pretty big. I mean, there's a lot of value for Bron Breakker alone and simply being promoted on stages like that.
Yeah. Do you know that the Monster Day Netflix has on Christmas Day, they've got the two NFL games, and then at 8 o'clock in the evening, they're dropping the next batch of Stranger Things episodes. Like, Netflix is going to dominate Thursday.
They're going to be dominating a lot of things, all right? Especially if the sale goes through, a lot of us will be...
They're just going to buy everything. Like, why not? Why not?
You know they're getting into podcasting.
They are, yeah.
They might buy this show, all right?
Yeah, I've got a call coming in here from my pal Ted. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. All right, there you go. It was a missable edition of Raw. Can we agree on that? I would say
I feel that way. I think if you read spoilers, like, you're kind of getting all you really need. I mean, if you're really curious,
news to me was like Javon Evans. Like they just told you he's getting called up. So like that was the most significant news on the show. And beyond that, like everything is like even next week's show. Like they've got two title matches, and then it's January 5th. That's the big show, and focus is.
It was a lot of reminders for like, hey, what's happening on January the 5th? I wouldn't say necessarily anything that really kind of took that to the next level. Maybe a significant plot point was some tension between Raquel and Liv and Roxanne, but like hardly a reason to even tune into this truncated edition of Raw 4.
All right. We're going to say goodbye on the YouTube channel, but we're going to continue on the XL version over on the Post Wrestling Cafe. We've got some feedback and questions to get to, and we will go over the Continental Classic and the updated card for the pay-per-view on Saturday. So we will be saying goodbye. A happy holiday to everyone. We're back. The Christmas show drops this Thursday if you are not a member of the Post Wrestling Cafe, but you can get that early access on Christmas Eve if you are part of what all the cool kids are doing. PostWrestling.com/gift.
PostWrestling.com/gift. Yes, if even you are not and you think somebody would appreciate it, these extended versions of these podcasts, ad-free, plus all of our exclusive shows, including Rewind Away, Ask Away, Talk, Collision Course, all that good stuff. PostWrestling.com/gift. Consider gifting. Love.
Love from Post Wrestling.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.